the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft. Here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, we're into 2020 now. Here's trusting you had a safe and healthy New Year's Eve and that you're at least able to remember it through the fog of celebrations. I must admit to younger years when remembering it would have been a bit of a stretch, but those days are history now. In fact, on this day back in 2007, yes, on January the 4th, I gave up drinking for good, so it's been 13 long years. Since moving to Ottawa a few years back, my wife Karen and I have spent New Year's Eve watching the fireworks over Parliament Hill, as our 10th floor apartment is only a few blocks away and offers us an unrestricted view. But the spoil sports and government canceled them this year because of the construction on Parliament Hill, which will be the first time the Trudeau Liberals actually saved us some money. Considering this is Ottawa, the second coldest capital city in the world, think Mongolia, we haven't had much of a winter thus far. My son-in-law managed to get my snowmobile out of storage at a barn on a nearby farm and into his garage. My eldest granddaughter, Briar, now 4, got her first snowmobile helmet for Christmas, but now it just needs more snow to stick around. I haven't ridden that machine in 4 years, interrupted by our move from Baptiste Lake to Ottawa, and then a stroke that crimped me up a bit until I finished off my physiotherapy. By that time, the great dump of snow was followed by freezing rain and the buildup of ice, so that year was quickly written off. This year has been a lot of ifs attached to it. If there's enough snow, if it stays, if the trails aren't chewed up too quickly, and if I can find a reliable partner to ride the trails with me, because it is just plain dumb to go it alone. I want to take Briar on a nice long snowmobile run this winter, because she is absolutely fearless, which is what I used to be like before, you know, before I became a grandfather. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. First program of 2020. How exciting is that?
Crazy.
2020. Woohoo!
How many times have you wrote on your sheet of paper yesterday, 2019?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to take, it takes a couple
of
years. Especially on your paycheck.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to change that up and make it 1992.
Yeah, I couldn't submit it to yesterday.
It's about what it's worth. where was I? Angela Vial, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Outdoor Journal Radio, along with Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Alice. We are here to shepherd you through the outdoors.
Yes.
Think of us as nothing more than that. And, of course, there's a young man on the line with us. He's just chomping at the bit to come on for the first time of 2020. Our roving safety expert, our in-house safety expert, former staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, now a blue snowbird. I was going to say bluebird. No, snowbird. Blue hair, I believe, is the term. Vacationing in the Texas, the Gulf Coast in Texas, Bradley Schlarf. Good morning, buddy, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. But, you know, I've been sitting here waiting on the phone since the 28th of December. Wonder what was going on that day.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, it didn't work out so good. John let me know moments before the show that it was the pre-record. Here I am. Oh, I've got all these stories to regale everybody with before New Year's, and I'm still waiting.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, let's not let it go to waste. Regale away, my friend.
Well, I was just making that all up just for jocularity. You know, like I'm listening to Stephen, as young as he is, his story and what he did on New Year's Eve, I don't know how to come back from that.
Isn't that shameful? Think about it.
Oh, man.
It was a great New Year's. It was a great New Year's.
Oh, boy. That was, yeah, I was not expecting to hear that for sure. How are you doing, my friend? Tell us about your New Year's celebration. Were you out enjoying the fireworks? Maybe firearms in hand. I hear Texas is one of the more liberal parts of the world in terms of carrying concealed weapons.
Oh, it's a fact. Guns is us down here, and like the fireworks, there were some very nice fireworks here at over at South Padre Island. Lots of personal ones and stuff, but the county right next to where we are had to have a ban on them because things were so dry they were worried about fires. And
oh wow,
when you roll over to guns, so there was two accidental shootings nearby, people discharging their firearms to celebrate New Year's.
It's funny you say that. I was talking to a good friend of ours a couple of days ago who lives in Florida. Walt Reynolds, he's been on the program before, Roland Martin's manager, longtime manager. And we were talking about one thing or another, and he talked about firearms. And because he's reading some of the news about Canadian laws and all restrictions, and of course down there they can carry concealed weapons. You have to get a license for it and carry it. He says, I read all of your stories up there about shootings and people getting shot and killed with guns. The only stories you hear down here about people getting shot is when they have an accidental discharge and they shoot themselves. But nobody's shooting anybody else with guns, he says, in his neck of the woods.
It doesn't happen that much. And you know, like you'd think that everybody's toting a pistol here, that there'd be more bar fights or fist fights or Walmart parking lot things that devolve into shooting, and they don't. But, and you know, honestly and truly, there are a lot of people down here, like as soon as somebody tells them I'm a retired cop and they ask me what kind of gun I'm carrying right then and there, I say, I don't have one. They look at me like maybe I should be locked up.
It's true.
What's the matter with you? Is it serious?
It's true.
It's true. So it's a culture thing. And I think maybe part of that culture thing is maybe people are pretty safe with those handguns that everybody's carrying.
Yeah. From what I can tell, it works. It works. But anyways, we don't need to. We have other issues to talk about, like e-bikes, for example.
Like Steve in Mexico. I follow Steve on Instagram religiously, and I see him sitting in front of a slot machine in Mexico, and I thought, oh, there's where he spent New Year's, not in front of a television set.
That's an old photo of me drinking, I think it was rum and coke, pressing the button, and I was pretty tipsy. But yeah, that was, I lost
390. So you were pretty tipsy New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's his highlight for the year, buddy.
Yeah, one of the many.
Would you lose 390 pesos?
Pesos, yeah. 40 bucks.
Yeah, 40 bucks. Oh, my God. That was a big deal. What's this about you? You want to share a story about e-bikes?
Okay, so this is kind of the conveyance of choice for people that have lost their driver's licenses fairly recently has been e-bikes. So, you know, you get your driver's license suspended, now not disqualified. If it's for a criminal charge, that's different, because an e-bike under the criminal code is a motor vehicle. But so you have a suspended driver's license. It's common to get an e-bike to tour about. So in my old detachment, they put it in the paper. They get a guy on an e-bike because it doesn't fit the qualifications as an e-bike. So he gets charged with no insurance, no license plates on a motor vehicle, like all the stuff that would happen, and driving under suspension. All you need to do, and I've never yet seen anybody peddling one. The whole idea when they were legalized in the form they are right now is that the electric motor is a supplement to the pedals. Well, nobody pedals them. But all you have to do to make it not fit the definition of an e-bike is take the pedals off. I don't know exactly what he did, but I'll bet you that's all it is.
Brad, like, okay, just between us girls, okay, the cop that charged this guy with that, like, was he having a rough day or something? I mean, the guy's already license has been confiscated for drinking. Like, the guy's on a moped, for God's sakes. He charges him because it had no pedals?
You need to make the quota.
If it was a moped, it still would count. Yes, only e-bikes are like this. And this is the truth. When e-bikes were first being touted as a great idea, the first meeting that I get dragged to go to, because I'm the off-road vehicle person, is as soon as I see one, I said, it's a moped. Like, why are we changing the legislation? Because there's already legislation around mopeds. And it was pushed that no, they're not. And yes, they are. So it's a moped with electric motor. But that's not the way the legislation went. And
poor guy. I feel sorry for him. I do.
I
feel
terrible.
It's a marvelous
pinch.
If he wants to
avoid, he lost his driver's license, so he's got some law enforcement interactions in the past, not having a driver's license right away. So he wants to skirt the rules like this. At least leave the pedals on it.
I wonder how many people are in Oshawa, because there's tons of mopeds around here have a license. Took that taken away.
As you can imagine, while you're languishing down there in the sunny south on beaches and surf fishing and T-shirts and sandals and stuff, we're trying to get a winter going up here, but it's not happening. It's not working too well. Snowmobile trail closures all over the place in the Midland and Penetang area. It's pretty weird this year, man.
Well, so the one of my routines, like I did on the 28th of December when I was waiting to get on the show, I look at the OFSC trail conditions, and you know, just I'm sure that most of the listeners are familiar with that, but the OFSC keeps that interactive map up to date, like right to the minute, nearly. So you can find out the trail conditions anywhere in Ontario. And right now, when you look at it, it's a sea of red until you get up to around Cochrane. And then around Cochrane, there's some green, like fully open trails and stuff. But the thing in Midland and Penetang is that there's an issue with the clubs and their land use agreements with the two towns. And they're working at it furiously. And I know both of those towns are quite amenable and friendly to snowmobiling. So it's not an issue of, you know, that they're saying, well, we're sick and tired of snowmobiles being here, because the land use agreements are also a way to sort of control where snowmobiles go in town. So the article ends with that the Georgia Bay Snow Riders are furiously discussing this with the town council. So I'm sure it'll get resolved, but yeah, you'd be running on dirt and gravel right now, because I guess there's not that much snow.
It's crazy, man. I don't know what's going to happen. My neighbor Lou, he's had the snowmobile out about four or five times now in the last 6 weeks. He brings it out of the garage and starts it up. He's all ready to go. And next thing you know, boom, it starts raining. He's got to put it back in it. And then next day I see him bringing it back out again, ready to go. Oh, it's just unreal. Anyways.
Heartbreaking.
It is. I feel bad. What's up for you today? You going surf fishing at all?
I was surf fishing yesterday, and about 3 days before that, we did okay. And today, it's either going to be go to the beach with my wife and my brother and sister-in-law, and we'll fish, and the ladies will enjoy the beach, or nice, maybe play golf. It's tough. I don't know what we're going to do.
And are you you're tailoring this, of course, around the early bird special? I'm assuming you designed it so that you're not going to miss that.
No, the early bird special will go pretty much all day here, so we can work around the schedule for where happy hour and early bird specials for dinner are. We can manage that.
All right, my friend, enjoy. We will talk to you soon.
Okie dokie. Good talking to you.
Retired Staff Sergeant with the OPP, Bradley Schlorf, our in-house safety expert, playing it safe.